Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, according to the promise of life which is in Christ Jesus. To Timothy, my dearly beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father in Christ Jesus, our Lord. I thank God, whom I serve from my forefathers with pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers, night and day, greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also. Wherefore I put thee in remembrance, that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Be not therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God. Amen. Timothy was born in a city called Lystra. Lystra was a Greek city. It was filled with paganism, mythology. There was a large temple there to Zeus. That was the god that they served, or one of the gods that they worshipped in the city of Lystra. His father was a Gentile. His mother was a Jew. She was a believer, a Jewish believer. But his father, all that we know about Timothy's dad was that he was a Greek, and that he was an unbeliever, and that he was not really much of an influence somehow out of his life. We don't know if he just walked away from him, from their family, or if he died. The Bible doesn't say. But we do know that Timothy was raised up and influenced, for the most part, by his mother and his grandmother. Paul, on his first missionary journey, went to this town, this city of Lystra, and he preached the gospel there for the first time. And he performed a miracle. There was a man that was crippled in his feet. And the Bible says that Paul saw that he had faith to be healed. And so Paul touched him and healed him, and he was raised up, and the whole city was amazed at this great miracle. But they attributed it to the Greek gods. They thought that Paul and Barnabas were Greek gods. And so they brought sacrifices, and they brought gifts, and they came to worship them. And Paul said, no, don't worship us. We're human. We're just men like you. We don't deserve to be honored or worshiped in any way. And so then they took Paul out and beat him outside the city and stoned him. So you can imagine here, they're wanting to worship him. And as soon as he contradicts their religious idea, then they drag him outside the city and they stone him, and he's left for dead. And he raises up. And I'm going through all this because it kind of sets the scene for the kind of an upbringing that Timothy had. He had a father that was absent from his life. He was raised up in a city that was filled with paganism and mythology, and it was a city full of evil religion, and it was a godless place. But Paul came, and even though they stoned him, he rose up from the dead, goes right back into the city, and establishes the church. And it's believed that Timothy was probably about 15, maybe 16 years old. And Timothy is no doubt converted under the Apostle Paul at that time, in that first missionary journey, at first visit to Lystra. Now, the thing that amazes me about the life and the ministry of Timothy is that all of this that was going against him, all of this circumstance that was so negative in his life, without the influence of a godly father, without in a city that was filled with all kinds of paganism and wickedness, and it's hard to imagine that Timothy could become the trusted person that was being used of God to travel with Paul and to be used of the Lord in such a mighty way. As a matter of fact, whenever Paul saw that the church in Corinth was backsliding, getting into trouble, he sent Timothy to try to restore the church. When Paul saw that Thessalonica was beginning to suffer persecution, he sent Timothy to encourage and to strengthen the brethren at Thessalonica. He became this strong leader, this mighty man of God that Paul called his brother, his son, that was his companion in the ministry. How in the world could it happen? He grew up in such negative circumstances. How could it have happened that this boy could come to know God in the midst of all of that and become such a mighty man of God? Well, it's pretty amazing, isn't it? It really is. He grew up in an environment that was so godless, but yet he became a man of God, used of God in such a mighty way. And we live in an age right now when there are attacks against children, there are attacks against family. Every direction you turn, there are all of these forces in our world today opposing everything that is good and godly. And the world that we live in today, we used to see some things in America that were pretty pretty harmless. Even things like Disney, it used to be pretty harmless, and it wasn't really anything. It was usually pretty much family oriented. At least it was that way when I was a kid. It's not that way anymore. Even everything that the enemy has been able to get a hold of to influence the hearts and the minds of children and young people. Young people and children today are growing up in a very, very hostile world when it comes to spiritual things. That's what's going on. Even the government seems to think that they know better as far as how to raise up your children, that they should be able to make decisions about your family and your children without even fathers and mothers knowing about it. It's a pretty serious time that we're living in. It really is. But thank God for good moms. Amen. I'm glad for good dads too, but this is Mom's Day today. And so we're going to talk about the gospel according to Mom. The gospel according to Mom. Timothy had a mother and a grandmother who were the big influencers in their life. That's a term that's used a lot today, influencers. There are people that are making millions of dollars through their social media presence, and they're called influencers. They get all these millions of people following them, then they sell advertising, and they're making millions of dollars off of the fact that they're well-known online. Or in these on these social media platforms. It's pretty amazing, really, that we've gotten to this place. I'm so grateful for those that God raises up, mothers that are great influencers. It goes without saying, and I've talked about my mom a lot, I know, but my mom was an influencer. My mom is still an influencer. To this day, she is an influencer, and she got saved, and she got thoroughly saved. She just didn't get a little touch of religion. She got born again. She really got saved when I was just small, a preschooler. She got saved, and she began then to want to point us in the ways of the Lord. And she wanted to protect us from the things of the world. It was a two-pronged effort. She was trying to feed us and put the things of God, the Word of God, and spiritual truth into our lives. And at the same time, she was trying to protect us and keep us from being affected by the things of the world that was around us. I mean, she got really saved. Sold out. Brother Routon used to say, root, shoot, and fruit. I mean, all the way to the root. She got really, really born again. It changed my life. It changed our family. It changed our heritage. It changed our destiny. Everything was changed because she came to the Lord and was saved. Our home was completely changed. Our house was filled with godly music, gospel music. My dad wasn't saved. He loved, you know, country music. Somehow my mom influenced him to buy gospel music. And so he would buy country artists when they would put out, almost all those old country artists would put out a good gospel album. And so my dad was compromising with my mom, and he would buy a Hank Williams gospel album, or a Hank Locklin gospel album, or one of these other artists, Tennessee Ernie Ford gospel album. And my house was filled with gospel music, and that was the influence in our home. The television, well, my mom hated it. And she did not want it turned on at all. We weren't allowed to turn it on. She would turn it on maybe if she knew of some program that she knew was harmless, which were getting fewer and fewer. And the only time we really watched it was when my dad would turn it on and we'd make a run to the living room. Because finally, we'd get a chance. She couldn't hardly run us out of the house. But Saturday nights were when we all got ready for church, and so it was bath time, and it was Sunday school lesson time. We would go to our rooms, and we would read our Sunday school lesson while my dad was watching Gunsmoke. It was tough. It was tough on us kids. But at the same time, now when I look back, I thank God for my mom, who saw the importance of pouring into us some good godly things. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Mothers can make a big difference. Mothers, I just want to challenge you today to realize that you are an influencer, and you can influence your family, your children, toward the things of God. You can be the person that God uses. I'm not minimizing what dads can do. Father's Day comes in June, but right now we're talking to the mothers, and mothers, you can make an impact upon your family, and you should ask the Lord to give you wisdom and insight into how that you can influence your sons and daughters to love God and to love the things of God. Amen. Myself and my two brothers, every Sunday, every Wednesday, every Sunday night, they're in church. Even now, after all these years, I know they're in the house of God. When the church is having church, they're there because it was so instilled into us, the value and the importance of being in the house of the Lord. Amen. It took a lot of courage to do that, especially with my dad not being saved. It took a lot of determination to do that, to point us in the right direction. Praise God. I'm so grateful that she did that. Now, the Bible says in this text here that Paul says, I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith. The word unfeigned means without pretense or without hypocrisy. It just means I call to remembrance the fact that your mother and your grandmother were the real deal. They were real. They were genuine. They really got a hold of something. And they really knew the Lord, and they pointed Timothy in the ways of the Lord. Amen. Instill those principles. And I just want to remind you, never underestimate the power of a praying mother or a praying grandmother. The great impact that they can have. And some of you moms or grandmothers, you may think, well, my children aren't serving the Lord, or I don't know if they're really serving God or not. I want you to know that if you'll commit yourself to prayer for them, to call upon the Lord on a regular basis, every day if possible, call the names of your children, your grandchildren, those that don't know the Lord. Call their names in prayer. Never underestimate the power of a praying mother. Amen. It can make a difference. I was a kid, I would wake up in the wee hours of the morning, and I would hear in the next room my mother praying 4:30, 5 o'clock in the morning, every day, every day. She was praying. And now, I was in my teen years, and I wasn't really all that interested in the things of God, kind of, you know, have my own ideas about the direction I wanted to go in my life. I could hear my mother praying and calling my name, calling my brother's names. At that time, I wanted to put the pillow over my head. I didn't want to hear all of that. But now I realize the tremendous power of those prayers. Amen. Praise God for it. Praise God for the influence in our lives. You know, most of the things, most of the principles and the truths that are instilled in the lives of your children, they're not necessarily taught, they're caught. They watch your life. They watch how you're living. They observe your lifestyle, your dedication, your commitment, what your priorities are. Children watch that, and they follow in your footsteps. To be like you, to be like mother. And we certainly should want to live out the Christian life at home just like we would in public, just like we are in church. We're not one thing at church and another thing at home, but we live our life of commitment to Jesus Christ. Amen. I remember getting up in the morning and walking into the kitchen and the dining room, and my mom's Bible was open on the table. She had already been there for a while reading the Bible. We would sit down to eat breakfast, and she would read to us the Bible. We were sleepy-headed. We probably didn't pay much attention. We were probably thinking, Mom, I'm too tired to pay any attention to this at all. But she was persistent. She was determined that the things of God would be instilled into our hearts. Prayer is a treasure. Prayer is a gift that you give to your children when you call upon the Lord in their behalf. And whether or not they serve the Lord will have a lot to do with the influence of Mom. Amen. It's true. It's true. He said, I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that's in thee. It's first in your grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I'm persuaded that's in you too. There it is, the generational effect of godliness being transferred from generation to generation. Praise God for that. Amen. Amen. I want my children to know God. I want my 10 grandchildren to know the Lord more than I want them to have the highest paying jobs, more than I want them to have big careers, more than I want them to have any of the things of this world. It's all fine. Good jobs, careers, all of that's fine. I'm not against it. I'm just saying the priority to me is I want them to know the Lord. I want them to walk with the Lord and have a relationship with Jesus Christ. Amen. Praise the Lord. And I want it to be passed on from generation to generation to generation until Jesus comes. I want it to be passed on. Amen. The gospel, according to mom, is a gospel that's lived out. It's genuine, it's real, and no pretense. It just has a powerful effect because it's real. Amen. Another thing in the life of a mother and her relationship to her children is the importance of a mom being the encourager. Mothers need to believe in their children. If everyone else has given up on your child, mom needs to keep believing in her child. Amen. If your child is the biggest troublemaker and the biggest rebel and the biggest problem person in the world, mom, your responsibility is to be that person who stands in the gap and believes in your son and your daughter. Amen. Timothy's name means one who honors God. Now, names are given usually at birth or when the baby's very, very young. Timothy was no doubt named by his mother because his father was a Greek, was a pagan. And so to give him a name, Timothy, one who honors God, She is looking to the future. She's not just saying this is his name. She's saying this is what I believe him to be. This is what I am trusting that God is going to do through his life. He's going to live his life and he's going to honor God. She gave him that name, looking to the future, believing that there was possibilities and potential in the life of her son. Amen. Praise God. You know, mothers are not blind. They can see the weaknesses. They can see the failures of their children. But most moms that I know of, even if their mean child is mistreated, you're going to be their defender. God has put that nature in you. I don't mean that you should excuse wrong or evil. You certainly should never do that. But God has put in this nature within you, mom, to defend your child, to believe in your child, to do everything you possibly can to encourage them in the direction that they should go. As a matter of fact, moms, you usually spend more time with that baby and that child than anyone else. That's usually the circumstance. And you are the one that you can see in your child their potential. You see their qualities, their gifts. You see their strengths. And you see all of these things in them. And you can point them in that direction that God has created them to become. Amen. Moses' mother did that. Exodus 2 says she conceived and bare a son. This was Moses. When she saw him, that he was a goodly child, she hid him 3 months. Not just that he was, it wasn't just a goodly or beautiful child. The Hebrew word really spoke to the future and to the potential. She saw that he had a future. And so instead of throwing him into the river like everybody else was commanded to do and to kill their babies, they risked their own lives to give Moses a future. They refused to go along with the Pharaoh's command. They preserved the life of their child because he was a goodly child. They saw that he had a potential. Moms see the potential in their children when no one else does. When no one else can see it, a mother can see the potential in their son or their daughter and can help them and point them in the direction that they should go. Moses' mother did. Proverbs 22:6 says, train up a child in the way he should go. The term there literally is talking about a pathway to follow. Train him up and set him out on a pathway in a particular direction. I've heard people say, well, I'm not going to call my son to preach, or I'm not going to call my child to this or this particular ministry or this particular direction. No, I'm not saying you call them, but I think it's obvious that mothers know their children and they know the potential of their children, and they want to point them in that direction. Train them up in the way he should go. When he's old, he'll not depart from it. Get him on the pathway. Get him in the right direction. Get him pointed in the pathway that they should follow. And I'll just add this to some of you young people. Listen to mom. Listen to mom. She knows a whole lot more than you really think. You may think, oh, I've got all my plans and my future all well laid out, and I don't need mom or dad or anybody to tell me what to do. Pay attention to mom. Pay attention to her counsel. Amen. Mom is an encourager. She's an encourager. I'm going to run out of time this morning. Another thing about this gospel according to mom is mom tends to be the disciplinarian. Now, I know that dads really have their role, but usually it's kind of like when it gets to dad, it's pretty bad. It's serious by the time it gets to dad. But mom usually takes care of the day-to-day discipline and kind of creates the atmosphere in the home. And if things get really bad, then it's going to be like, okay, just wait till your dad gets on. But mom is the person that sets the atmosphere as far as discipline is concerned in the home. Mom carries that influence. Amen. My mom was a disciplinarian. I mean, I don't remember my mom. I remember as a child, a little child, that we got spankings, and she disciplined us when we were very young. But we were already convinced we needed to listen to what she had to say by the time we got older. And that's really biblical, because the scripture says that we should discipline them when they're young. Betimes is the King James word. That we discipline them when they're young. Proverbs 13:24. He that spareth a rod hateth his son, but he that loveth him chasteneth him betimes, or early, while he's young. What you'll find out is, for those of you who have really young children, if you get the first one, the oldest one, under control and disciplined and following, walking the line like they should, the others tend to follow along pretty well. You might have a showdown, though, with that oldest one. We did. We had a showdown with Erica. I know you can't believe it, because she's perfect now. But we had a showdown. Erica was maybe 2 or 3 years old. And she came up to me with a ruler, a wooden ruler, and swatted me on the hand with it. And I don't know if it was me or Marcia that said, oh, you shouldn't do that. You tell your daddy you're sorry. And she said, I'm not sorry. And so then the standoff. There was a spanking, and then through the tears, I don't know how long this went on, but for a little while, she kept saying, I'm not sorry. I'm not sorry. And we just stayed after it until finally she submitted. And then she's been perfect ever since. No, not really.
Not necessarily, but pretty close.
I know some people have this idea that spanking children is archaic. It's biblical. It's only archaic as it's old-fashioned as the Bible is. Chasing them betimes when they're young. When they get older, you won't have to do it that much. Amen. But you create an atmosphere of discipline in the home. And children are they feel much more safe and secure in a home when there's discipline. They feel secure in that kind of an atmosphere. All we have right now in America is defund the police, rebellion in the streets, all of this thing, the looting and the burning and all the stuff that's going on, and this hatred toward authority that's in our country right now. And it can all go back to the home and the family and mother and dad and the failure that's there in the home. Amen. Praise God. The gospel of mom, the gospel according to mom. I'll just mention one more thing and then we'll close. Mom is wise to expose her sons and her daughters to godly influences. Mom is wise to do that. Paul was the one that became this spiritual father to Timothy. They were close. They were companions in ministry. And no doubt there was the opportunity for Paul to step in there and to become this person of influence in his life. A godly man. Paul was to Timothy a spiritual father. It says here that when he wrote to him, he says, I pray for you day and night. He's writing from a prison cell. But Paul is so invested in Timothy that he said, I'm praying for you day and night. I'm always praying for you. He said, I'm mindful of your tears. Their last meeting, their last time when they said farewell. And Timothy broke down and wept and cried because Paul was leaving him. He said, I remember your tears. I remember your tears. Paul was that person who influenced Timothy. Verse 5, it says, when I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also. Wherefore, I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God. He was that person that God was using to encourage him. Use your gift. Stir up your gift. Moms know how to bring their sons and their daughters into a place where they're influenced by godly people, godly examples. I had pastors who influenced me, youth leaders that influenced me, even children's church leaders that were influencers in my life, a youth choir director. Big influence in my life, my growing up years. All these people were godly, praying people who were influencers in the house of God. And while my mom would say no to a lot of things I might want to go do, she would always say yes to activities that had to do with any godly influence. Push me in that direction. Push me toward the things of the Lord. Amen. Well, the gospel is filtered through our lives, and the gospel is filtered through mothers. And you moms have a real opportunity to influence your sons, your daughters, to know the Lord and to see the potential of their life and their future. Let's pray. Father, we're grateful today for each one of these ladies, Lord, who have such a big, big responsibility. I thank you, Lord, for their life and for all down through the years, even after their children are grown, Lord, that the influence continues.
Thank you, Lord. Lord, that the gospel is filtered through the life of the mother, and the example is powerful, pointing us in the way we should go. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Praise God. Praise God.